Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with prayer. Holy and gracious God, we gather into this place to seek you, to hear your word, to have our lives be transformed by you. Lord, quiet our hearts now as we hear from you. May we be guided in your ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. There's a quote from Rachel Held Evans, who was a Christian author, who said, "The good news of our faith is that we are all children of God. And the bad news is that we can't choose our siblings." Each and every one of us, because of the love and grace of Jesus Christ offered to us through his death and resurrection, have the ability to be children of God. Not because of what we do to earn it, but purely because of the grace of God. The crucifixion and resurrection of Christ actually changes us deep inside our souls. We are at our core children of God. And it's not just you that's a child of God. Everybody else in the church throughout the world is also a child of God. And that means that they are our siblings in God. And that means that we're called to overcome our arguments and disagreements with them, to try to live together in peace and love as God's children. However, as you may realize just from living your life, this is easier said than done. It seems as though Paul realizes this as he writes to the Galatians, because here Paul is going to deal with a truth that we all know in our lives, even if we don't readily admit it. We aren't so good at noticing people's souls. We aren't so keenly in tune when we interact with others as to what their inner identity as a child of God is. We aren't so hot at pointing out, look, there is the love and grace of God working in your heart, the same way that it's working in mine. We're better at noticing things on the outside, like gender or race or social status that Paul points out here. We're better at noticing the words that people say instead of the meaning behind them. We're better at noticing the actions of others and maybe not the things behind those actions. We're better at noticing the outside than the inside. When I was at my previous church, I was invited to be a weekly guest at YMCA summer day camp to do religious education with about 50 elementary school kids once a week. I did it one summer and was glad to be invited back for another summer. When I returned for the second summer, some of the kids were obviously repeat day campers from the previous year and remembered me. One of the little girls came running up to me to say hello and to say that she remembered me and she wanted to know if I remembered her. I said yes, which was a little true and a little bit of a habit I got into when I worked at camp all those years where kids would ask me if I remembered them. And then this little girl wanted to tell me how she had remembered me. I realized in hindsight that I maybe should have been more on guard for this conversation, but like I said, there are about 50 kids at day camp, and so I admit I was only about half paying attention. And this little girl starts in, "I remember you because I remembered your shoes, and I remembered your necklace, and I remembered your watch." She didn't remember anything I had tried to teach them about Jesus in the previous summer. She didn't remember any of the activities we did. She remembered my clothes. It's no wonder that we can't see the souls of each other as children of God. However, Paul helps us out a bit, Because he tells us this evening that not only are inner souls changed by the grace of Jesus, but he also tells us that we are clothed in Christ. Now, this obviously is not a literal thing, or we would all look different. But what Paul is telling us here is that through our faith in Christ, we're not just children of God in our souls, but actually everything about us is a child of God. We're covered in Christ. We're covered in Christ's love and grace and mercy. Now, of course, this raises some questions. What does it actually mean to be clothed in Christ? How does it change us? How does it change our interactions with others? Because first and foremost, we must remember and trust that we are children of God. Not because we have earned it, but because it's a gift given to us by God. And as children of God, we are clothed in Christ. That means the first thing about us is Christ. That means the pinnacle of our identity is child of God. It means that when God looks at us, the first thing he sees is Christ. It means that when God looks at us, the first thing he sees is not what we look like, it's not our age, it's not the clothes that we're wearing. It's child of God. It means that when God looks at us, the first thing he sees are not our failures, it's not all the times that we have fallen short, it's not our sin, it's not our general disappointing nature. No, God sees us first and foremost as his children. And that's what we're called to see ourselves as, too. When we look at ourselves, we're called to see above all else the very truth that we are beloved children of God. The first identity we have is God's child. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for myself that when I get into spurts of actually believing that, which I admit doesn't happen all the time, but when I find myself trusting that I really am first and foremost a child of God, you know what happens? I become a lot less squirrely. I tend to act less like a jerk. And I have a lot more love and grace in my heart towards myself and others. If we believe that we are children of God, it will not only change the way we view ourselves, it will change the way we live. We are children of God, and that means I don't need to be all worried about what's going on because God loves me. It means I don't need to be up arguing with somebody because God gives me peace. It means I don't need to be selfish and grudge-holding because God gives me grace. We are God's children. Now, of course, this means, and you probably should have seen this coming, that we are not the only ones who are children of God. Because here's the thing, as children of God, other people are clothed in Christ too. That means the first thing about them is Christ too. The first thing about them is not what they look like or what they do or how we feel about them. The first thing about others is that they are children of God. And so all the stuff that we talk about concerning how important it is and how life-changing it is to see ourselves as children of God, that also applies to everybody else. If others are clothed in Christ, we need to be approaching them as though they are children of God. Because the first and most important aspect of who they are is that. We don't approach others and think about how they're different from us, or about how one time they said something that made us mad, or how never we would want to hang out with them. We approach others and see fellow children of God. And this idea that we see others as first as fellow children of God is why Paul's verse about there being no Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female can be. This verse isn't saying that people suddenly no longer are those things, like the slaves were suddenly free or that people had their ethnicity changed. Paul is saying that none of those things are the first thing about anybody. Because first, we are all children of God. So the first thing we think when we interact with somebody is not a difference, but a similarity. That means for the Galatians, they can't look at each other and think, oh, that person is Jewish or that person's a Gentile, and so I can think or act a certain way towards them. No, they first approach each other as children of God. So what about the rest of us then? Well, if you woke up every morning and looked at yourself and thought, I'm a child of God, and then you looked at everybody else and thought, you're a child of God, your world would be completely different. You'd be more compassionate, more loving, less quick to judge or be angry, more peaceful, less worried, more welcoming. I could go on and on. We are children of God, each and every one of us. We are clothed in Christ. First and foremost, above all else, we are children of God. And everybody else, they are clothed in Christ. First and foremost, above all else, they are children of God.